Why?
Yeah.
And then give us options, because there have got to be options to mitigate yes. the conflict that's going right. on between government and the citizens of
the people.
Cassett.
Yeah.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
Hey, welcome fellow Kershaw County citizens. My name is Matt, and joining me is my partner, Jeff Maddox here. Everybody knows him. And what we're doing here is the Kershaw County Liberty Report. We're going to be discussing weekly, sometimes twice a week. We're going to talk about matters on the county council, goings on in Kershaw County, politically wise. Tonight, specifically, we're going to focus on the new fire station up here in Cassett off Highway 1, right up by the Dollar General. Well, it's not by the Dollar General. We'll get into that. And then we're going to get into some of the Council of Governments, the COG. You might have heard Julian Burns say that.
Or as I call it, the Super Walmart of Government Largesse.
Right. We'll talk about them. So what our goal is with this show is to keep the people of Kershaw County informed of what is happening in their government. We're going to try to keep it sort of a long form conversation, but we're going to keep it short enough to where you can watch it in your own free time. So, how's it going, Jeff?
It's a great day in Kershaw County. It's Julie Burns. Julie Burns, we used to say. But he's still up to his dirty tricks.
Oh, he's definitely a snake in the grass. But he's gone. Katie Gwynn is in. We have Ben Connell at the State House doing whatever they do up there, eating lunch together and making their deals behind closed door, whatever they do. It doesn't concern us. We have Danny Cato representing District 6 now, Brant Tomlinson representing District 3, and we have an empty seat. And that's Ben, no, not District 3. District 3 was Ben Connell's seat, right?
I don't know the districts. I can't keep track of it
anyway,
anymore.
Ben Connell's seat's up for grabs.
Yeah.
He's got one of his employees is running for that seat, and there's one other that we're going to announce here later on.
And it's vote for Ben Connell, essentially.
By proxy.
Yeah, by proxy.
Yeah. All right, so the new fire station coming up here in Cassett.
And the fire station in Cassett was first voted on by council when Julie Burns was in.
Mm-hmm.
And
they bought nearly 13 acres, 12.9 acres, between Highway 1 and the railroad tracks, between Dollar General and a residence. It's 12.9
acres. If you're going up number one toward Cassett from Camden, it'll be on your right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And the railroad track cuts that property into a pie shape.
It's a triangle. I don't know what it is. It's an isosceles or something. Angled on one side.
Not quite to a point, but it's wider on one end, the furthest way from the Dollar General.
Correct.
And narrower at the Dollar General and to the road behind the Dollar General.
Right. So, I was in the fire service for years here in Kershaw County, and the talk was always that the station was going to go next to the Dollar General. I've talked to many volunteer firefighters, full-time firefighters here in Kershaw County, and they all say, yeah, I thought it was going to be next door to the Dollar General. Technically, it is, because they own all that property right there. So, last week, week and a half ago, I was laid up sick for about a week and a half.
With the Rona flu,
whatever,
yeah. Shingle, whatever.
Dr. Fauci's retirement plan. And so I rolled out one day. I'm going to go down to Camden. I don't know what I had to do, pick up a prescription or something. I don't know. I had to go down to that godforsaken land. And I rode by, and I look over to my left, and there's a huge piece of land just cleared down to the dirt. Every single tree gone. Every blade of grass gone. Come to find out it's 4 acres that are cleared, all the way up to the property line of that house.
So there's a residence to the south of there.
Right on the south.
Right on the south.
Right. So these folks bought this house about a year ago, and they moved in recently. They're from Pennsylvania.
They got a nice chicken coop and have been remodeling the house, right?
They're spent, I don't want to put their business out there, how much money they've spent.
Oh, that's irrelevant, but they moved in.
Spending a significant amount of money to remodel this entire house. They have an animal pen where they have pigs, chickens, ducks, goats. I think I even saw an alpaca or a llama or something over there. I don't know. It might have been a donkey. It was dark. But all these animals, and they moved here from Pennsylvania to live a quiet country life. They want to move here and retire and live out their days in Cassett,
in
the country, right? So they go away on vacation. That just happened to be the time that I was going downtown. And I see this land. Immediately, I pick up the phone and I call the county administrator. And I say, hey, man, did y'all start building the fire station already? His words were, no. We're building a walking trail there. And I said, man, you cleared 4 acres of land down to the dirt and cut every single tree down to build a walking trail? And he said, that's the plan, is to put a walking trail in like a little park there. That's what the people of Cassett were asking for. And I said, what? When was this? I said, all right, man, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Got a phone to him, called Katie Gwynn, the chairwoman. I called Jimmy Jones. I called Brant Tomlinson. I called Danny Cato. I tried to call Russell Brazel. He didn't answer the phone. I didn't bother with Samuel Tucker. Danny Cato said, oh, yeah, that plan's been decided on a long time ago. There's really nothing we could do about it. When I was campaigning, people said they wanted a park in Cassett. I was like, what? That is not what you campaigned on. Hang up the phone with him. Jimmy Jones said, there is no funding, has been no discussion in front of county council. Nobody has made a decision to put a walking trail or a park in on that property. That's the fire station that's being built. I said, oh, okay, well, I guess I was misinformed.
Yeah, misinformation or something.
Right.
There is a epidemic of misinformation coming out of government.
In our own county government. Right. So this ball started rolling fast. I'm calling everybody and raising hell. You know I'm a pretty passionate speaker.
To say the least, boys and girls, Matthew will tell it like it is.
So, especially when it comes to Cassett, I told them all of them, look, I'm going to fight you tooth and nail on all the things you want to do in Kershaw County, but you ain't seen nothing until you mess with Cassett. And I told you. And so I've raised holy hell. Come to find out, nobody knew this project had even been started yet, except for the county administrator, the project manager, and the fire department. So I called the chief of the fire department. Hey, Chief Glover, do you know...
Yeah, that's Will Glover. Yeah.
Great guy. I fought fire with
him. Yeah, I like Will.
He's taught some of my fire classes. Great dude.
Will's a good guy.
And I think I need to pause and say right now, nobody is saying we shouldn't be building a fire department in Cassett. We want a fire department built up here in Cassett. We need it here in Cassett. It's just the placement on their property, on this 12 acres.
Let's talk about that just a little bit, and maybe we can come to, like I told you before we even started recording, I kind of fall in the middle that
you,
property
you have a
rights
construction
and
background,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
And I have a firefighting background.
Yeah.
Okay, so explain your thought process and why they decided to put that property right up against this gentleman's property line.
Well, it appears to me that the project manager or whoever made this final decision looked at the property and said, this is the longest that I can get all the way to the back, and all I have to do...
Width-wise or lengthwise. Depends on which way you're facing.
Yeah, yeah.
East to west.
And this is a simple problem, no problem, blam. We'll just do it this way. With no thought of any repercussions with anything that is around there or anything. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, when I was building houses outside of a subdivision on a piece of property, I would walk that piece of property with the people. Mm-hmm. I would discuss options of where
Let me ask you this, Jeff. When you went to walk that property with these people, did they already have the house picked out, size, square foot, front door here, garage door here?
In general, we already had the house picked out.
Would it stand to reason that they already had a fire station designed and planned, and they were saying, how do we fit this on our property? Instead of saying, we should build a station to fit the property that we have at this location.
Right.
So they designed the fire station, and they said, how can we fit this on the land the way that the ideal position, the easiest, cheapest place for us to put it?
Basically, you can have an architect design for that specific location for the what you really want to accomplish.
And that would probably cost a little bit more, you think, right?
Probably not that much. Not anything at all, really. If you're going to hire an architect to begin with, it's not going to cost you any more to reposition and redesign the building. You hadn't built a damn thing yet. Well, and all he has, he's got the same pencil that he uses to build, do the other one.
If they were to build a Blaney fire station, an exact copy of the Blaney fire station, could they have put it right next door to the Dollar General? Have you seen that footprint? You've been by that.
That footprint? Yeah. They could have.
Why didn't they just design? Why didn't they just say copy Blaney Fire Station and put it right here?
Well, from what I understand now, and I get this from Danny Templer, is that the architect that did that building, they can't find or anything anymore to get permission to use that plan
because
over and over again.
Yeah.
In other words, the deal, and that's like I told him, I said, well, and they probably didn't know because it wasn't Danny, it was somebody else before that. But if you know that you want that kind of unit, mm-hmm. that you'd make a deal with the architectural firm to repeat that plan at a one-time fee or a small fee for each time that you build it, you know?
So that was the previous council, the previous administrator. That's the newest fire station in Kershaw County.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So they were thinking, we're going to build this station and be done with it. You don't own the intellectual property of the design when you use an architect. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Unless you purchase it. Okay. So,
I'm an anarchist, y'all. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in all this copyright and all this kind of stuff. I think the human mind, the ideas that flow out are public.
Okay. Especially when it's public money paying for it.
Yeah.
Okay. But... just see Ray Miles, he had that idea back when they were building the new schools, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we just build the same school building wherever we're going to build one? Why do we have to have a different design for each school?
Yeah.
That gets into the government of wanting to spend our money. Well, we have this money. We can spend it. I would say, give me my money back. Build the same
thing. And it goes to the same thing I talk about as do-gooders.
Yes.
Do-gooders wanting to do good, and you got to meet the architectural, and then they want architectural review boards and all that. Where another thing that with this is that you have all the other government agencies involved, like DHEC and OSHA and all these people. And it's like I told Danny, I said, are you guys having to build this to DOD specifications? Because they have to jump through more hoops than you and I.
Correct.
And so there's some limitation in options because of that.
They have DHEC, they have the county building codes, and they also have NFPA, the national, that's the firefighting code. So you have to have...
And
the
AMA.
And all, yeah, AMA, accessibility.
You see, this is that pile, this is that... This is that pile on. This is that pile on that government rules and regulations and everything keep putting on.
Kershaw County citizens are feeling this when they're going to planning and zoning and trying to get permits to build a deck, or they want to build a retaining wall up by the lake, and it's costing them money. And inspection, you got to pay for these inspection, that inspection. They say no. You're like, well, my yard's going to erode into the lake. I need to do this. When they're like, well, you got to do it by our way or no way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so these are battles that we're fighting, that we are fighting, you and I, off camera, outside of the county council, trying to affect change within our planning and zoning laws, trying to affect change within our comprehensive plan, and that sort of stuff. And I will say that our county council, as it stands right now, is 100% more receptive to us citizens than the previous administration.
Well, that 100% is easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah. You're right. It ain't hard.
No.
All right.
So, I haven't seen shit. Mm-hmm. Okay? Boys and girls, I have not seen shit. I know they've only had one meeting and all, but look here. I want limited government. I want more private property rights. Mm-hmm. If you don't give me private property rights, I don't give a shit. You're out of here.
Yeah.
I'm running. Somebody's running against you.
Yeah. Okay, so private property rights.
And that's what this is all about.
The county government owns the property, and according to the zoning regulations and property rights, they can build this fire station wherever they want.
Yeah.
So this is not a legal matter. In speaking with the homeowner, he knows. And he recognizes this is not a legal matter. This is a people matter.
Yeah.
He's the only house within a half mile of this damn station. Why would they build it right up on him? And that's the question we've asked the county council. Who made the decision to put this right here? Why did they make that decision?
Were there no other options?
Were there no other options? Who gave the green light to cut all these trees down and start putting filter in? And that's another thing that I didn't get into. They're raising the ground level of this place by 4 feet. So this gentleman has a 6-foot privacy fence. Right on the other side of that privacy fence, he had started putting a pool in. And right on the other side of that pool, there's a sliding glass door and a bunch of windows, because that's where his leisure place is going to be, right? He understands the county can build this building wherever they want. He gets it. We all get that. And he understands that this is where the fire station is going to go on this 12 acres. I am a proponent of putting a new fire station, because I've seen the old fire station in Cassett, and it is an absolute nightmare.
If government is going to take on the responsibility of fire, they need to upgrade if things go on, and okay. I agree.
So
that
here's the issues that I have with the placement of the fire station next to this man's house. Being a former firefighter myself, I ran an engine company. I was the officer in charge of an engine, right? When I came on shift, here's our morning routine, and I'm going to bring this up in front of county council. We come on shift, we have our turnover meeting. We get our instructions from the chief. Here's what's coming down the pipe for the day, okay? I'd say, Roger that, chief. We're going to make it happen. Immediately, we'd go from there to checking our trucks. That means we pull every single apparatus out of the bays and put it on the front
ramp.
The front ramp.
Yeah.
Right? Every truck's out there. We had 4 pieces of apparatus, we'll call it. Right? We had
that's at the beginning of a 12-hour shift.
Beginning of a 24-hour shift.
Or 24-hour.
Right. So we'd pull every truck out.
So once a day that would happen.
Every morning at around 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right? We pull them out, engine's running, we turn the lights on, make sure all of our lights work, we'd hit the horn, we'd hit the siren, we'd hit the cue, which is a louder, that big wailing siren you hear, and we'd make sure it all works. We'd run the pumps, bring it up to RPM, bring it up to pressure to 120 PSI, Then we would shut it down and let the engines run for about 30 minutes because we want to make sure everything's operational. We're checking the oil, the antifreeze, do the inventory, make sure all the tools, we're slamming doors. And okay, that's what...
Y'all earning your money.
Checking the equipment, make
before
sure
y'all cook breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
you know I give you firemen hell. No.
Hey. So we want to make sure the shift before us, if they had a call, they put the equipment back where it belonged because we might send it, hey, go give me the axe. Go give me the pickhead axe. And he needs to go look back. And be like, oh, shit, the pickaxe. We don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I can understand it.
We run all of our saws. Anything that has a motor on it gets ran. So that means we run our chainsaws, our K-12 saw, which will cut through steel. And
so in other words, let's just cut to the chase. Y'all going to make a lot of damn noise.
It's loud as hell. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, once a week, every single truck, we test the pump. We test the pumps every day, but once a week, everything that has water is emptied via the deck gun or one of the valves on the side, one of the cross-lay valves, right?
The deck gun is what y'all use when y'all are controlling crowds and all, you know, shoot down.
No.
Y'all don't control crowds and riots and January 6th things and all that.
And they fill up that pond.
That's
the Lugoff Fire Department when they shoot down.
That's the oh shit gun. When you roll up on scene and you see flames licking out of windows and going up to the roof, you pull that deck gun out and that'll empty your tank in about a minute, less than a minute.
So in a minute, what do y'all shoot at?
1,000 gallons, less than a minute. So,
and you got a 3,000 gallon tank?
It varies. So the engines that I ran were 1,000 gallon tanks. The county, the engine that Cassett runs, it's called a tanker pumper. So it has a larger tank on it. Could be up to 3,000 gallons, but I know for a fact that it operates at 1,250 gallons a minute.
Right.
Okay. So they're going to pump 1,250 gallons a minute out of this deck gun.
Hopefully, once a day.
Once a week. So, but look, you're going to have an engine. You might have a backup engine. And then you're going to might have a ladder truck, which also might have a tank on it, which, you know, that's called a quint. And this gets into details.
So how long is this going to take to accomplish in the morning?
Usually
once a week.
Usually an hour.
Right. But it's not happening at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, this is eight-ish. I don't know if they do turnover briefings like we did. They might just get right at it at 8 o'clock.
I think that the whole thing is that that there were no options given in consideration of. People,
I'm going to tell you this, the fire chief wasn't offered options. The fire service was not offered options. The project manager came to them and said, this is the best place for the station, and this is where we're going to start building. And the chief says, okay.
Yeah, what we want to know is who made the final decision in the position of the station itself.
Who said go?
Yeah, who said go?
Start cutting trees.
Who said this is the only option and everybody agreed to it? Who was in that decision-making process?
Right.
And we want to stop right now.
We have stopped.
So we're at stop and waiting for county council or whatever. But what we would like to see is other options of moving that fire station that we all agree needs to be built and all to a more suitable location where all of us can be satisfied to whatever extent necessary.
So as of right now, the building itself, the southwest corner of the building is 125 feet from the property line, okay? And there are no trees in between the corner of that building and the property next door. Now, what the homeowners have been told is that they can pick out the trees that they want there, and we're going to put some trees up. And okay, you're talking about 10 years till these trees mature and actually...
Well, Josephine says that she would say, fruit trees and all, so that they could
already mostly grown, ready to produce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready to produce, and then he could pick fruits off of.
Yeah.
Get a 99-year, I can pick the fruit thing.
You also have the power lines. They move the power lines. They put a pole right on the corner of the property, the southwest corner of the property, and ran the power lines down
the property.
That southern edge of the property. So you have to have a set off for trees for that, right?
Right.
Okay, so looking at 125 feet, but you have to have easement for the property, so that cuts off, 50 feet?
So we're really talking about the position of this building.
The building.
And are there any better options? And why was this not brought to the public?
And this is
concern.
This is what we want the people watching this right now to call your county councilman and ask them. Are there other options for this? Especially in my up here in District 6 in Cassett, Bethune, you need to be calling Danny Cato.
Yeah, this affects the Cassett area, but yeah,
this is a county.
The same principle,
problem. Yes,
is required all over the place.
Mm-hmm. So talking to the homeowner, he knows this is not a legal issue because the county can put this building wherever they want on their property. It's a people issue. And even Katie Gwynn admitted this is just like being a bad neighbor. Why would we want to have our county and our firefighters to be forced to be bad neighbors?
Yeah.
Now we could get into...
I appreciate Katie saying that.
She's met with the homeowner. She met with the project manager, the county administrator, the assistant county administrator, and they all met up there and talked to the homeowner.
Yeah.
And Katie was asking questions like, well, how much would it cost to stop right now and pick it back up after a county council meeting? And it was like, oh, we can't do that. It's going to cost everyone. Okay, well,
stop.
How much
anyway.
Is it going to cost to stop after the county council meeting and change?
Yeah.
So let's just let's just stop now and discuss this in front of the county council.
A mistake often costs. A mistake often costs. But if you don't stop, you're going to cause more unintended consequences.
It's just like in your own personal life. If you make a mistake, it's best to just admit it right now. We made a mistake.
And learn from that.
Learn from it moving forward rather than to keep living that lie.
Keep digging the hole.
Right. So here's what we want as citizens of Cassett, as citizens of Kershaw County. We want to know the who, what, when, where, why.
Who
decided to put it there?
Right.
When was this decided? What actually was said and decided? Which I FOIA'd all of this, okay? So hopefully, I talked to him. I'm hoping to get it before the council meeting. Where is the best place to put this? Are there other options?
Are what we're after, right?
So the where and the why kind of together. Okay, so we know where the station's going, but why is it going right there? Did DHEC say something? Did NFPA say something? You need to have a certain setback from the road for an engine or a ladder truck?
Why?
Yeah.
And then give us options, because there have got to be options to mitigate the conflict that's going on between government and the citizens of
the people.
Cassett.
Yeah. Yes. And the citizens of Cassett, I don't speak for
everybody.
And
don't get me wrong, but they're somewhat moving now, the government is somewhat moving now to make up for the mistake that they're not going to admit that they made by doing what they've done.
I think they'll even admit that there's a mistake made. They're like, yeah, there was a mistake made. We've had one county council meeting. We've only been here for
the new council.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mistakes were made in the past, which I think this new council was elected to fix the mistakes of the past council. Okay. And we're not going to bash people who's responsible for what. They're gone. You know, whatever. They ain't gone all the way, which will be another show. But I think this really boils down to them taking the path of least resistance, plus a miscommunication, plus trying to do what's right for the fire service.
Yeah, I think it falls into the category of government incompetence is inherent
absolutely
in the system.
There was a disconnect,
and that's what that's why they call say that the people have to be vigilant, because incompetence is inherent in the system,
right,
because there's very little repercussions.
Let's
and
say,
the unintended consequences end up costing money, lives, privacy, whatever it is.
And full disclosure, this fire station is within a quarter mile of my property. Okay? And I am saying we need a fire station. That's a great place to put it. Put it right there. It's going to lower my homeowner's insurance. I'll have a quick response time. If
well,
I
the ISO, the ISO doesn't change because of what they got right there, unless they put full time. But when
they're
they put
have full,
that's an improvement.
Yeah.
But your ISO doesn't change because of the location here. The location is within a I don't know, 1,000 feet of the other damn station or whatever. It's not
station.
That far, yeah.
Right,
it's
but
not
they're gonna have far. They're gonna have hydrants there. The hydrants change the ISO.
But I'm just saying, if they built the same damn station right
but
there,
here's what the
it
homeowner,
would make no difference.
The homeowner says, okay, it's gonna save my homeowner's insurance $100, $200 maybe, but what is it gonna cost me in sleep when at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 in the morning, they have an emergency call that they need to go to? So let me break it down how this is gonna happen. At my station, the last station I worked, we had rescue horses across the street from us, a farm with rescue horses. The people came over and asked us, could you please not operate your siren until you get out to the main road? Yes, yeah, we could do that, no problem. Well, we're being good neighbors.
Yeah,
we would definitely do that. We're going to have to turn our lights on, we have to. Okay, but we're not going to run our siren. We would get to the main road and activate our sirens and horns and go out into traffic, regardless of the time of day, because you never know what's coming down the road. This station is on the main road. They will have to activate their sirens and their horn. Because of the placement of the station, they can't see what's coming up over the hill to their right, and they're not going to be able to see to their left because of the privacy fence and the trees.
There's an 800-foot regulation that you have to see clearly for 800 feet both ways.
Okay.
How
many feet per second can you cover?
I'm not disagreeing that
going
that,
75
that,
miles an hour.
I'm not disagreeing that you know the siren and the safety and all. But at 2 o'clock in the morning,
red lights flashing through your windows.
In Cassett, with red light flashing everywhere, do you need to play the horn? I talked to Danny a little bit about that. There can be a little bit of give and take here that given the time of day and the traffic flow and all, can you delay that so that we mitigate the problem of noise?
The answer is yes.
Yes.
And that's going to fall back on the training of the engineer and the officer in charge.
Yeah.
Okay. So they need to be level headed
and the common sense
let me
that Will might have.
The engineer who is operating that apparatus and the officer in charge who's riding in the right seat, they need to have the presence of mind to say, we have a house burning with entrapment, and they're focusing on, as an officer, as an officer in charge, I have to have the presence of mind to know that I'm about to go into the most hazardous situation that I could possibly be putting myself into and the men that I am in charge of, or women, but also know that don't hit the siren.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what I would tell my guys, we're getting our gear on, we jump on the truck, the door's going up, the lights are on, we had headphones in the truck, I would tell my guys, men, listen to me, take a breath, take a deep breath in, let it out. Let's go to work. I was the calm in the truck. But I'm telling you right now, I was not the norm for the fire service. A lot of officers will jump on that truck, let's go fucking get it, boys. Yeah, we got fire. Let's go. Ripping the siren and all that shit. And all the firemen know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Go get her, brother. Go get them.
Yeah.
All right. So, I trust that Will Glover, the chief of the Kershaw County Fire Service, and his battalion chief
Will's
and his
a good
officers,
guy. Will's a good
the officers
guy.
That he has running his trucks, they are going to hire the right people, they're going to have the right training, and they're going to do their thing. And they're going to be courteous to the public. I have no doubt that they're going to do everything they can to serve the people of Kershaw County to the best of their ability and provide the best customer service. I have no doubt. I think that Danny Templer has the best intentions in mind to serve his customers, which are us, the people of Kershaw County. I have no doubt that this current county council, as it stands right now, that the majority of the people on the council have the best interests of the people of Kershaw County.
I agree.
And I think we need to leave it at that and pick this up after the county council meeting.
Yeah, let's see what
happens.
Let's
see where the chips fall.
Yeah, the chips are falling. And this is just another example of government at work and how dysfunctional it can be.
Well, and also how
with
quickly,
good people with good intentions and unintended consequences happen.
Mm-hmm. But also how much you can affect change on your government if you just have a little bit of involvement.
You mean a Mickey Mouse voice like yours?
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse. Great.
If you just pay attention to what your government is doing, they'll more than likely behave themselves. And I promise you. But if you don't pay attention, they're like a 5-year-old toddler in the backyard without any supervision. They're going to start digging holes and pulling flowers out.
When it's my money is important.
Yeah.
When it's your money, it ain't much.
The one question I ask everybody in Kershaw County: what if somebody was building this fire station right up to your property line? What would you do? Well, how would you feel about it? Try to empathize a little bit with these homeowners who just moved into Kershaw County. Try to empathize just a little bit, and think about it. If they cut down every single tree and blade of grass right up to your property line and said, we're going to build a fire station with four bays, three of them pull-through bays, with a big long driveway and parking. This is going to be the hub of the east side of the Wateree. Think about how you would feel about that. And just meditate on that and think about it when this county council meeting happens. If you want to help us out in trying to find options and demand options from our county, go to the council meeting on the 24th at 6 p.m. at the Government Center on Walnut Street and join us. Get up and speak your mind. If you think that fire station should go exactly where it is,
call your county councilman.
Call your county councilman.
Come to county council.
Yeah, be involved. That's what we want.
Yeah, you want my ideas.
I think let's
move to the next
topic. Yeah, I think that's enough of that. This next topic, I'm going to lean on you to speak on this a little bit, Jeff. I'm kind of new in the game when it comes to the Council of Governments, and I've worked from where we are today backwards when it comes to city planning and the roots of the Council of Government and how this came about. When the nuts and bolts of the machine, though, you're more you have more knowledge about it.
Well, I've just been in the game longer, and that's what gives me the knowledge.
You got a little more gray hair than me.
Yeah, I got a lot more gray hair.
Mine skipped gray and went straight to white.
But many people don't know anything about the Council of Governments, and the Council of Governments is a super Walmart of government largesse. That's where all
unelected, right?
Yeah, unelected officials. The county council puts some people on there. The council of governments put somebody on there. And the council of governments in our area is called Santee Lynch's.
Mm-hmm.
And there's five counties in it. And we pay 40.
We're actually in two council of governments.
Technically just in transportation. We're in the Coates agreement with mm-hmm. Richland County. But here in Kershaw County, all our economic development, industrial parks,
grants,
HUD
especially, they seem to focus more on the lower income individuals of a community. Would that be correct to say?
To some extent. That, you know how Julie Burns used to say that we're going to bring in good-paying jobs by industry and all? Mm-hmm. Well, the good-paying jobs are the people that buy the, that are in the HUD houses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like the turkey barn out there.
Building the HUD
houses. The turkey
barn. You're talking about.
Well, I mean, like the turkey barn out there.
Right.
They get, you know, they go out there and they watch the turkeys get slaughtered and all, they clean the equipment
good,
and everything.
That's a great job.
That's a great job.
You worked 30 years there.
And you get a HUD house. You get a HUD house.
Right.
This goes back to the World Economic Forum, I mean, and you'll own nothing and be happy.
It goes, what's that song? I owe my soul to the company store.
To the company store.
Right.
That's what most of this Council of Government stuff is, and it flows from the top down to here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people hear about these boys flying into Davos and, mm-hmm. and World Economic Forum and all this kind of stuff, and they don't realize
really
how it connects to you.
So Davos is the macro.
Well, you can call it the mothership
it's
if you
macro
want. You know,
the cog is the micro.
You know, like me and you were talking about, it's Satan above them. But
Dave. My goodness!
Well, we got to sit.
We
have
worked up.
Yeah, but
okay. So, but that's the deep dive into it. It really would take a whole show on its own.
Oh, it'd take hours and hours.
So
to
right now,
it out.
The cog is has a meeting coming up. And it just happens to be, by coincidence, January 24th at 6 p.m. What else is going on January 24th at 6 p.m.?
The movies?
No.
Soccer?
No.
Maybe the World Series.
Peanut Gallery says the county council meeting.
County council. Oh my goodness, ain't that something?
That's weird, right? As a coincidence.
Yeah, right up the. As a matter of fact, it is being held at the very same time.
In the same building.
About six steps up the same building. Right into the county administration's office.
So let me read this. I have it on my phone here. A notice of public hearing. Citizens participation plan / needs assessment.
Say that again.
Citizens participation plan / needs assessment.
Huh. All
right,
all y'all citizens are aware that they're planning for y'all.
All right, so I'm going to read this whole thing, and we're going to break it down. Communities anticipating participation in the state of South Carolina's Community Development Block Grant, or the CDBG program, Economic Development Program, and the Federal HUD Home Program must provide for participation of their citizens in the planning and implementation of CDBG, Economic Development, and HUD Home Funded projects in accordance with Title I, of the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974.
Who
was the president in 1974?
Ford or Nixon. I don't remember when.
When was
Nixon resigned?
When was Johnson president? Lyndon
Johnson. He was in the 60s.
He only did like 3 years.
One term, yeah.
All right, so, but he brought in the
Vietnam War.
Vietnam plus
and,
the
HUD
the
housing,
war on poverty, basically.
Yeah, the war on poverty.
Yeah. As amended through 1987, who was the president then? Jimmy Carter.
Reagan, H.W., one of the two.
Therefore, a citizen's participation plan has been developed for Kershaw County for the purpose of providing the citizens of this locality with a written detailed plan for their participation in the planning and implementation of community and economic development projects which may involve CDBG and home funds.
They want y'all participation, y'all.
I'm going to read that again.
No, therefore, don't read all that.
A citizen's participation plan has been developed for Kershaw County.
Has been.
It's already
developed.
Been decided
the
by the
plan has already been developed.
For the purpose of, so this is, we are allowing you to have some participation but the plan is already made. Detailed plan for their participation in the planning. There has been a detailed plan for their participation in the planning and implementation of the community and economic development projects. Notice is hereby given, that's all in capitals, that on Tuesday, January 24th, 2023, at 6 p.m.
You slaves in Slavelandia are hereby invited.
The Santee Lynch's Regional Council of Governments, on behalf of Kershaw County. So somebody in Kershaw County asked them to do this.
Yeah, on behalf of.
We pay for it.
Yeah, we did it. We asked for it.
We'll hold a public hearing at the Kershaw County Government Building, room 207, 515 Walnut Street, Camden, South Carolina, 29020. The purpose of this public hearing is to review. So first of all, they said, please come and participate. Give us your input. We really want to know what you hear. But the purpose of this hearing is to review and solicit public comment on the aforementioned citizens' participation plan. Y'all get that? Not
the plan.
The participation plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the plan.
Yeah.
Just the participation
plan. Yeah, yeah.
And to solicit public input on community needs and priorities for housing, public facilities, economic development, water and sewer facilities, public safety components, and job creation within a needs assessment, with a needs assessment survey. The citizens' participation plan is available for review. Tell me if this is true or false, Jeff. The citizens' participation plan is available for review at the Kershaw County Administrative Offices, Camden, South Carolina, and the Santee Lynch's Regional Council of Governments office at 252 Corporate Way, Suite 200, Sumter, South Carolina, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. You must have called after 4 p.m. or before 9.
Well, why are you trying to
Monday
give
through
away
Friday,
my get?
Monday through Friday, persons with questions or comments concerning the public hearing or the citizen participation plan may contact Tammy Smith, Grants Coordinator, Government Services, Santee Lynch's Regional Council of Governments at 803-774-1377. I say y'all give her a call. Kershaw County, the City of Camden, and the Town of Elgin does not discriminate on the basis of age, color, religion, sex, national
origin. Yeah, that's a standard
family status, familial status.
Yeah.
That's a fucking lie. Or disability on the admission of access to treatment, blah, 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 blah. All right, so you tried to call, you called.
I called
the
Danny.
County Government Center.
I called Danny Templer. I said, look here, baby.
Did he have the citizen participation plan?
He didn't even know what I was talking about.
What about anybody in the administration?
He didn't even know that he had a meeting.
Huh.
And he said, let me check into this and all. So I get an email and a phone call, and Danny says, I sent you an email with what the Council of Government sent me. Well, they sent me the same damn thing you just read, except for Sumter and their little community participation survey meeting was held today, whatever day it is, the 16th, 19th of January, and that was it. In other words, I wanted to know what this survey was, because I suspect it's like the other surveys, like Vision 2030, Vision 2020, Eat More, Move Smart, or whatever the hell it was with Kershaw County, the penny sales tax, all this bullshit was put in place by the Council of Governments, financed by the Council
of Governments.
I'm getting
breaking news on my phone. That's why I'm on my phone.
Well, go ahead. Breaking news. But all this bullshit is manufactured consent, like the little things they sent out for Vision 2020 and Vision 2030, these surveys, they'd ask a particular question and give you three answers, and all the answers led to the same conclusion that they had already been pre-planned already.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the same bullshit all over again. And I'm going to tell you something about the Council of Governments. Most people don't know about the Council of Governments to begin with. But the Council of Governments, ladies and gentlemen, are filled up with left-wing big government.
Yeah.
If they were unelected,
if they were worth a shit, they'd be working in the private sector.
I'll just say that.
It is incredible. It is incredible. The first time I went to the Council of Governments, they were absolutely shocked that a member of the public came in.
Didn't you get in line for the state dinner?
Oh, they had a feast out there, babe. And Samuel Tucker was up all up in there.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been there in a number of years.
Right.
But I have investigated the Council of Governments all over the country. And what it is a funnel into where central planning of the elite, whatever you want to call these bastards, is funneling down into you, and you don't ever see it.
Okay. Well,
and in the end,
let's talk about the life cycle of our dollar, right? So you go to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and you get your paycheck. You look at that line of deductions, and you see the tax dollars deducted. That goes to the state and federal government, right? And then that's when it goes into the funnel that you're talking about. The big budget, the $1.7 trillion omnibus budget that they passed, and full of all sorts of bullshit to fund the Nazis in Ukraine and to overthrow governments in Central and South America and NASA.
Steal oil in Syria
whatever it may be. And then the Council of Governments get their own. What's the level above Council of Governments? Well, you would call it like the
you got the CFR, you got the Bilderbergers, you got Davos,
the Council on Foreign Relations,
Club of Rome. You've got all these organizations of
it's a pyramid,
dirty, rotten.
It's a pyramid, right?
Oh yeah,
the top of the pyramid is the all-seeing eye, and who's that?
Well, I don't know. It might be a guy with horns and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so
people don't believe that. So and he don't really exist.
We'll save that for one of our episodes.
It just don't happen. So he don't use good people for evil deeds. I swear he don't use do-gooders. It's all for the people, the greater good.
Okay, so the Council of Governments, their specialty is getting money from the government in the form of grants, right? And they're also allotted a certain amount of money to divide up. And the county councilmen will tell you, members of the county, well, if we don't get this money, then Lee County's going to get it. Somebody else is going to get it. So we might as well go ahead and get it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how they justify this.
Yeah.
And really what they are is suckling on the teat of Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, I digress. All right. I'm the straight man here, Jeff. I can't be going into this stuff.
Well, that's not funny. So
it ain't fucking funny. It ain't fucking funny.
Not at all.
All right. Dead serious. I say that with all sincerity. All right. So.
Why did I become an anarchist? Because I figured out the devil.
You believe in good and evil.
Yeah, the devil is running this damn corporation known as the United States of America. And he provides us with all kinds of wonderful things.
Now, but in the hereafter, in eternity, that's a whole other story.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the Council of Governments is planning your future.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to get bent over just a little bit more. And if you hadn't recognized it yet, you will in somewhat near future.
All right.
It's like I told the county council, you need to batten down the hatches now. We need to put up a barrier around us to protect the family, to protect liberty, go back to the basics, the fundamentals of do no harm. Judge
how about
that
this
one thing.
What would happen if everybody just minded their own fucking business, Jeff?
Yeah, my dad said that there are people that don't mind their own business. And I agree. And that's why you have to have some sort of judgment on, and he's a minister, retired minister. What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have done unto you. You can judge all the rules. You can judge any infraction, any infringement on that. You base it on property rights and individual rights. I have a right to do what I want on my property as long as it doesn't affect somebody else's. I have a right to...
You're not hurting somebody else's personal
property. Yeah, if they feel an infringement, at that point they can seek adjudication in front of a jury of your own peers, which it doesn't happen anymore.
I don't think I have more than
four. We don't have a judicial system. We don't have... Can any government be trusted at this point? After the last three damn years... Can any government be trusted? Well, if we're going to have it, we must have open, transparent, and trustworthy government. And we don't have that now. And my hope is that Katie Gwynn, Jimmy Jones, Russell Brazel, Danny Cato, all these new Brant Thomason, all these new county councilmen will come to the realization that we are in a war, and it's not a war against people, it's a war against spiritual beings, and that the principles must be upheld. The principles of free choice, private property.
These principles, where do they come from?
They come from God.
That's not Hammurabi's code, right?
No.
We're not talking about ancient Egypt, Babylonia, Assyria. We're talking about a God-ordained, inalienable rights.
Natural rights.
Natural rights. And people have strayed so far away from that, and they have no idea.
They have left God behind.
They wave the American flag and say...
And I'm sure some of them...
Is this still recording?
I'm sure.
It says the battery's going.
I'm sure several of them have noticed that I leave every time that the Pledge of Allegiance goes on.
Yeah.
For some reason, I got to pee.
Here's how I do. I stand with my hands folded behind my back, and I'm respectful. I take my hat off, and I'm respectful of what these people believe in. But in my mind, I know that they're believing in a lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the
kind of things that we're going to get into in the future shows. We're going to break this down. Why is it a lie? Why is that flag being co-opted by evil? It doesn't mean what you think it means. It actually means nothing now.
Yeah.
Really.
It has progressively gotten to the point.
We're about to run out of battery, Jeff.
Yeah. And we're down. We got to cut it off.
We're at an hour plus. So stay tuned, folks. Like, share, subscribe.
You got the fire station up there where government has misstepped again. You got the Council of Governments planning your world. You got the World Economic Forum going crazy. And we're worried about beer and football.
Well, I'll tell you, Go to Google and Google, where is Satan's throne? That's all I'm going to say. Good night. Thank you, folks, for paying attention. We're going to share this all over Facebook. Watch me. I'll be on WIS soon. Look for my ugly mug on the news again. My second appearance on TV. My mom and daddy's so proud.
All right, shut up. Let's get out of here.
Peace.
Bye.
if a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people,
right?
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force? Why can't they do what everyone else does, which is compete for your business?
That's right.
You know? I mean, like, if the police are the security, I'm sure all of us would be willing to pay for property protection, you know? Like, but if when we don't have a choice, we don't get a really great service.